Rob Tamika Catchings here on Darren Donica Chase. Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. And when you hear that, it was happening a lot in the arena, and kind of listening to those stories, boy, just told you the significance of Pat Summitt and that program. Whenever they would get together for their first practice, and she just described basically the entire lower bowl of fans there just to watch them kind of start off their season with the first practice. I mean, that just tells you the magnitude of Lady Vols basketball back then. Vince, how you doing?
Good, guys. Hope you're doing well. I had a great Easter.
Yep. Certainly didn't feel right. It was weird, no doubt about it. But, you know, I don't know if they'll ever recapture. I mean, I think it'll be virtually impossible to ever get Lady Vols basketball back to that level. It just shows you the significance of Pat Summitt to that program, to women's basketball. And I don't know how you ever, you know, get it back to the level of someone who is going to go down as the greatest of all time, right? And so just interesting to hear Tamika talk about those teams when she was in Knoxville from the late 90s to the early 2000s.
Yeah, totally agree. I don't see it getting back to that level. Doesn't mean they can't get into competing for Final Fours and national championships, things like that. But to sustain it on that level, to dominate the sport, to have the intimidation factor before anyone even threw the ball up for the tip, to start a ball game. The Lady Vols, because of the athletes, because of the coach, because of the program and more success they had, they had teams fearing them, and they won ball games before they ever got started. It's just a whole different world from the respect, the accountability factor. Plus, society and young players are different now also. I think that's a factor as well. There's much more competition. It's just all the many factors that go into that. I think that's the case. But it is neat to hear Tamika and any of the other greats from Lady Vol basketball history talk about their time, because it is so unique. It's one that they obviously, all of them have represented really well. And they will cherish, and I think Tennessee fans will as well.
AD Philip Fulmer said that UT will honor scholarships for returning seniors. NCAA throwing that out there. Wisconsin said that they would not. What did you make of? Let's just start there. What did you make of that decision?
Of Wisconsin,
yeah.
Or Tennessee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
Well, for Wisconsin to put it out there, I think that is silly and ridiculous.
I know. Don't you think the backlash will have forced them to change their mind? I mean, they have been getting, rightfully so, they've been crushed by this.
Absolutely. And you know that's going to be ongoing in its use against them in recruiting for all sports.
No
doubt.
So
why would you put that out there? So it doesn't make business sense. You deal with the situations case by case, and if it turns out that, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other schools, especially when you get into the group of fives, that aren't going to be able to afford to bring players in, or it's going to cost them recruits on the back end. You know, whatever the case may be, I think you got to make those decisions down the road and not just put it out there. Oh, we're about the student athletes, but you're not welcome back, even though you've done so much for us all this time. It's bad business. It was unnecessary, in my opinion. It makes Wisconsin look like they are all about the budget versus the student athlete, and all these schools claim they're about the student athlete first. So why would you put that out there for perception to be reality? And maybe it is the case in this situation, but there was really no need to take that stance and put that out there. And you mentioned Philip Fulmer, Darren. I think it's the right thing to do. I don't know why there wasn't more of a of a roster extension, and maybe they'll add that at some point down the road. But I that's something you should have given the schools the ability to do at the beginning to figure out. Now the coaches are figuring out their roster, and I'm sure there's commits or signees that are being told we don't have room for you for some because you're bringing back some seniors. So that makes it difficult. I don't know why allowing these seniors to allowing those players to come back wasn't accompanied with a 1-year roster extension. But it is, I think, the right thing to do. And yeah, it's going to cost more, but it's what the schools have to help these students out and do it for the ones that want to come back. Because some, in a lot of the Olympic sports especially, will have their post-collegiate careers already set up to where they just got to move on. And it's very unfortunate for them. But if they want to come back and they can help your team, you let them back and you figure it out.
I was looking at some NFL mock drafts over the weekend, and one had the Titans taking Daryl Taylor late in the draft. What do you think about that, and what do you think about him in the NFL draft that's upcoming here very soon?
I think he is Tennessee's best prospect in this draft. If the Titans get Taylor in the late rounds, I think that'll be really good value. And, I've seen him as high as the second round. I personally think he's probably more in the third round. That's more consistent.
I probably should have said mid rounds. You're right. I said late, I meant more mid round. I think the one I saw was maybe fourth round, maybe.
Right. Yeah. And those, the third and the fourth, I think that's where you've seen Taylor a little bit more frequently. You know, a lot of these players that have had injuries at the end of their college season or during or even afterwards, he had a procedure done shortly after the season, so he wasn't able to do anything at the combine. So, teams, obviously there's that medical, so you have to wonder about that. You can't, during this current time, you end up having to take risk, and you just never know. On those guys. So does that mean if you have a bunch of other guys on the board at the same time that also have medical risk? I mean, teams are going to have to take some chances and do their best with it anyway. You're not going to avoid taking any risk whatsoever. So he has pass rush ability. I personally think he's a little better with his hand down as a 4-3 end versus just a 3-4 outside linebacker. I thought at Tennessee he was a little bit better rushing the passer with his hand down and using his first step versus standing up. I didn't think he was quite as explosive. I look at a lot of those 4-3 teams as more of the easier fit, but he can play that 3-4 outside backer. And look, the teams that he visited before this whole quarantine shutdown and the league stopped doing visits and everything, the two teams he visited were Arizona and Green Bay that I've heard of, and those are both 3-4 teams. Titans obviously need a pass rusher as well, so I think they'll be both of those type of teams that'll look into him. But I think because he showed flashes that I think coaches can really build on, he's probably the best prospects, best prospect among Tennessee players. But I kind of think a 4-3 team would be where he would prosper in the most in the NFL. But we'll see.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara as we have our weekly discussion about the University of Tennessee. And in some past interviews, Vince, you were talking about the intrigue that was coming about true freshman quarterback Harrison Bailey. And, of course, now we won't know what's going to happen, how he would have progressed in the spring. But you had a chance to talk to Barton Simmons, who we've had a lot of great conversations with over the years about him. Tell us his insights.
Yeah, Barton is fantastic. So spent about 20 minutes or so talking about the recruiting landscape with him and how that's impacting teams and players. And then we got into some of Tennessee's players, the true freshmen coming into the season, and how he views them. And on Harrison Bailey, He mentioned that it's a shame that Bailey won't get a chance to see what Bailey would have looked like on the practice field in the spring. He was an early enrollee, one of a couple for Tennessee. And he said that he is certainly one of the most equipped quarterbacks in the 2020 class to start as a true freshman. Now, he also said that wasn't his prediction that he would start. He's just saying that, look, if any of these freshmen that are all in the same boat around the country, true freshmen, are going to be able to earn a starting spot, he's got the physicality, the mentality, the work ethic to be able to do it. And that was his point. And he, we'll see how this all impacts it. Each player is going to be different in the work that they put in. But he felt like that this kid with his maturity, his physicality, and all those traits, that if anyone was going to be able to pull it off and start, it'd be him. And I think that's exciting for those that are on the, hey, we want our five-star true freshman quarterback to start right out of the gate, not Jared Garantano. For those in that camp, I think that was encouraging news for them.
There's some preseason rankings coming out for University of Tennessee hoops. Solid top 25 for preseason polls for next year. Is it a little bit early for that, or and do you think that that is accurate?
Well, for the polls, I don't mind those, Willie. Really, in any sport, we see them way too early in football, and sometimes even before the national championship is played, somebody's putting out a poll for next year. I don't mind those things. They're talking points. They're guesses. Some more educated than others, but I don't mind them. It's not the end of the world. It's not games aren't being determined. Where they are in the end aren't being determined by anyone's way too early polls. So I think that where Tennessee is, you've seen them in the teens most frequently, Vols Hoops for next season. And I think that in that 12 to 15 range, I think that's accurate for Tennessee basketball for next season. Rick Barnes, the way he talks about his two freshmen that are coming in, especially Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson, and how they're elite players on both ends of the court, offensively and defensively. And Tennessee struggled so much guarding the ball and on the perimeter that if you're going to add elite athletes that can defend, create their own shot, and have position versatility, both ball handlers, Springer and Keon Johnson, to me, those guys are going to play a lot and play early. Plus, they're getting Victor Bailey, the Oregon transfer that had to sit out last year with the transfer rule. And I've watched him practice, and people that have watched him practice even more talk about how good he is and how he could really help that team. So you're adding, plus you had another freshman, Corey Walker, a 6'6 freshman that's a little bit more of a forward. And he was a high four-star as well. You add that to Fulkerson and Pons, and then Josiah Jordan James, Vescovi, who played well at the point as a freshman coming in midseason. And there's about eight guys there you can make a case to be starters. Plus, other guys off the bench like Gaines and Pember and Kumwa Plavsic, we'll see where, and they're adding EJ Anasicki as well, the transfer from Sacred Heart. As a grad transfer, 6'7" forward. So you got a lot of bodies there. You got 13 guys that you could make a case for minutes. I think this team will be outstanding next year. I'm not worried about them having a lot of new faces. Look, we see it in basketball. Kentucky turns over their roster a lot every year. Baylor had a number of transfers this year with new faces. They found a way to put it together. That's the state of college basketball this year. So I think because of the defense, the athleticism that they're adding, I think it's going to be a very good Tennessee basketball team next year.
Vince Ferrara is with us, the Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville. And when Philip Fulmer, the AD, was on your station, I know a lot, you've already hit on some things that he talked about, but most notably the football team and Coach Jeremy Pruitt. What is it that excites him going into next season?
Well, he said the fact that they have experience, and particularly at the quarterback position. And that obviously goes contrary to those that are hoping that it's not Garantano, it's Harris and Bailey. I thought that was interesting that that was one of the things that he made sure to point out when he did an interview on our station. And so that experience excites him. And look, you know, he was talking about also how the difficulty, and we've discussed it in our visits, the first year coaches, how tough they have it right now. You know, so hard in recruiting, you can't do anything. And then you can't put in your system and you can't develop your culture. I mean, first year coaches are really, really in a tough spot this year. And he pointed out how tough that would be and how thankful he was that they're not in that situation. They're losing some key guys, obviously, to graduation and the draft, but the number of players that they do have back, they have a fair amount of experience, and that was the thing that he kind of held on to the most and really complimented Pruitt on how he has handled this whole period. I think we've talked about it. You know, Jeremy Pruitt continues to say the right things and that it's bigger than football. It's, you know, that he misses his guys, he misses his staff, and then they're just now starting to do a little bit of football stuff. They get 4 hours a week where they can do, you know, some of the virtual online training and things. So the former is very complimentary to Pruitt. I think he's worthy of it because he has handled things better than a number of other coaches around the country.
Vince, one thing I brought up with Tamika Catchings was her former teammate, Kelly Jolly Harper, now coaching the Lady Vols. You know, just what she saw out of the first year, and she was very complimentary of her. But she also brought up just the job that Holly Warlick did of having the impossible task of taking over for Pat Summitt, and I know it didn't go the way that everybody hoped it would, and ultimately they made a change. But do you think that Kelly Jolly Harper will benefit from now Holly Warlick did the hard part of having to move on from Pat Summitt, and she's able to focus more on coaching and maybe a little bit less on the legacy?
Yeah, Chase, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that, yes, it's going to be easier for Kelly Harper than Holly Warlick, who was in a virtually impossible situation. And, you know, people forget the fact that, hey, she was a really good player at Tennessee as well. And it's, for some fans, that doesn't even matter. It's just about how she was as a coach. And, you know, I'm sure it's rough for her to hear that kind of criticism. But, yes, it should be easier. We'll see. I mean, the jury is still out on Kelly Harper. I know that was one of the things that I failed to mention that Philip Fulmer was talking about on our station was how great a job he thought Kelly Harper did. You know, this largely wasn't her roster either. And she was able to coach them and put them together and improve their win total both overall and in league play. And I thought they played better and smarter. They still have a ways to go though. And they've had a couple of other players still transfer out, you know, one coming in as well. So those are going to be more roster turnover, and we're not going to fully be able to judge her until she has her own roster of players and can implement everything she wants to with her type of players. But I do think she did well in year one, but it was very difficult for Holly Warlick, and she should have more success than Holly Warlick with that situation. But ultimately, we'll see how she's going to be long-term, because I think the first year without most of her players, it's too difficult to judge her on her totally, but Fulmer's happy with her.
Thanks for squeezing us in on this busy week. Appreciate you putting us on the schedule. No, in all seriousness, thanks for sliding over after Tamika Catchings. Unfortunately, that was the only time she could join us, was right at the start of this hour. Thanks for doing this. Have a great week.
No worries. Appreciate you guys squeezing me in. Thanks so much. Always great to talk to you guys.
Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. I don't know what Chase is eating, but there's been a lot of beating and banging and sirens going on over on the west side. It's not you? Is that Willie? Is that East Nashville? I thought that was Bellevue.
No, the sirens are on the east side, no question.
Oh, okay. Somebody was just beat. I just heard a plate and some forks and knives sound like some beating around there. Maybe a little lunch.
I did. I admit I fumbled a fork. That was a fumble. So I've been flagged for a false text.
This has been
texting to the wrong group. and also a flag for a fumble of a fork.
You've had to call a lot of timeouts this hour. You may be out of timeouts before we get out of this show. We will take a timeout and come back and wrap up the third hour next.